Well then, Dad, we've had another letter from Martin, and he's very, very happy with the tape that you sent about your Kilton memories, and he has a few questions he'd like to ask you, if you can remember. So I'll just refer to his letter, and then you can carry on and tell him what you do remember about these particular points. And one in particular is Kilton Hall. And do you remember Kilton Hall?
Yes.
And could you tell him about the people that were living there in your time?
Yes, I can tell him about that.
All right. Well, would you like to just carry on?
Regarding Kilton Hall, when I was with the Fondales, a man by the name of Charlie Bell had that farm. It's quite a large farm, at least it was in those days, but of course not today, but at least there was around 500 acres. And across the road from the farm entrance, there were four cottages, all in a block, where he had four married men working for him, and he had at least 200 head of cattle of various sizes, and I think, as far as my memory allows me, he had at least 300 sheep, and I believe, if I got this straight, that when Charlie Bell was quite a young man, he came there and worked on that farm, but and that is one fact that I'm not too sure about. And he was a very successful farmer, and that's about all that I really have on Kilton Hall, but I believe you mentioned in something about Kilton Thorpe. Well, now, when I was at the Farndales, there were a few people living at Kilton Thorpe, and one of them was the constable. And I'm not sure of this fact, but I believe at one time there used to be a school there. But I don't know whether I told you in my last talk that about the mine in Kilton there, and I guess I did, so I don't need to go into that.
Was there a post office at this village?
No, there wasn't a post office.
Or a store?
No, and they used to get daily, I think it was daily, but I'm not quite sure of that. But a girl, I think it was a girl that used to walk all the way from Broughton, which was at least 2.5 miles, I'd say, and bring the mail to us. And that was, we got it daily, I think, as far as my memory will serve me. But as you well know, it's a long time back since I was there.
So there was no, you couldn't purchase anything there. It was
You couldn't. There was no store, no nothing.
What were these people? Martin says around that time there would be 20 to 30 houses, he thought. Would these people work elsewhere and just live there, or did they work on the neighboring farms?
Well, when I was there, unless they'd come there after my time, there wouldn't be that many people living there. There were very few. The one man I do know that lived there was the, in fact, there might have been both of them, was the outside manager of the mine and the inside manager. There was.
Probably some of these people be mine workers.
Yeah, well, they went because they came, walked quite a piece, 3 or 4 miles, some of those chaps, and they used to come right by Farndale's house and up to the mine. It was between the two farms, but didn't interfere whatsoever with the farming operations.
Well, who owned this mine? Was it?
Well, the squire owned all the farms, and he got royalty out of all those mines right through the Cleveland area. He was a very good landlord, and all these mines were, as a matter of fact, I was twice down the mine that was on the between the two farms on the Findale property. They were down 750 feet, and in those mines, they weren't like the coal mines. They had much higher ceiling, and they had used draft horses, shires at that time, and they had quite a number of horses down there, and a barn and a stable and everything, and it was quite an operation.
How did they bring the ironstone into the surface? Did they have
you call them lifts, I guess, in England, but they could bring up the, they loaded the iron stone into little bogies, and they were pulled to the pit head and then loaded onto the, elevator, whatever you want to call it, and it brought up the surface 760 feet up. And that's how they got the coal, the iron out.
And so it was quite an operation.
Oh yes, it was throughout the Cleveland area. There were mines all through there.
I see. And then they were sort of owned. Then each one would be owned by whoever owned the land that it was on.
Yes, well, yes, the squire owned the land, and he'd get, as I already mentioned, he'd get a royalty.
But the operation of it was by
companies. Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, there's another point Martin has asked about, Dad. I'll just read you this bit to refresh your memory, and then perhaps you can tell him what you remember.
Yes.
It says, your father mentions Martin Farndale of Craig's Farm and his son Herbert, now dead, but I knew him quite well. I am descended from Matthew's elder brother, Martin, who was living at Tidkenhall Farm near Guysborough, only a few miles from Kilton Lodge. My father, Alfred, was the youngest of 11, and 7 of them settled in Alberta. I was born about 100 miles north of Calgary near Red Deer, so I claim to be Canadian. Did your father ever come across any of the Tidkenhall Farndales? That wouldn't be very far away. But you don't recall any of the...
No, I don't. Of course, I never...
Where Martin gets his name, then you did mention before, though you must have come across him, because you mentioned to me when we first got his letter that there was another Martin Farndale. You remembered the name and the family.
Yes.
But you didn't remember much about him.
No, I don't. But
isn't that strange? Because not far away, really, but I guess in those days it just showed you that
yes.
Didn't move around the same.
No.
No. Let's see if there's any other points. That's too bad, because that's probably the part he would really like to know about. It's interesting here, and I don't think you knew this, but Charles actually had 8 children, but I see some of them died very young. As a matter of fact, the first one only lived 2 years, from 1873 to 1875. And let's see, there's another one here too. Somewhere. Oh yes, another one, Ernest. 1883 to 1885. So they died just as little children.
Yes.
So you recall then Charles died in 18th of March 1914. And there's a memorial to him in Broughton Churchyard. Anne, that was his wife's name, died in 1934.
What was her name?
Anne.
Anne.
I think you said, no, you thought.
I thought it was Martha. But
Martha, that's right. And maybe there was someone else in the family by that name. That,
yeah.
Let's see now, what else is there here? That, oh yes, about photos of Kelton Lodge days, and so I've got those pictures that he could send, also those clippings that I thought he might be interested in reading. And can you think of any other things? I think you did mention a few items that came to mind that we didn't cover in our last tape. Do you remember what they were? Well, perhaps, Dad, you could tell Martin a little bit about what Kilton Hall looked like. You know, perhaps you could describe the grounds and the buildings for him.
Are you ready to go? Regarding Kilton Hall, it was a very large house, as were all the farmhouses at that time. And one thing, it was pretty well surrounded by trees. It didn't stand out in the open like Kilton Lodge did. And one thing I remember about, they were quite numerous farm buildings. But one thing that stands out in my memory, in one cow byre, as they call them in England, and you're aware of that, there were 24 milk cows, short on breed, and they were milk cows too, but they looked by a bunch of calves, and these calves were kept in a pen away back up the yard from the, and I'll never forget the stampede that took place when it was time for them to go for their breakfast. They opened the gate and they came out of this pen helter skelter and down the aisle there, or alleyway, and into that barn. There were two doors to go in the barn, and I'm not positive about this one, but if my memory serves me, and of course, as you know, it's a long time back, but I think there was one cow, and they were really cows, they were real milkers. One of them, I think, was even suckling three calves, quite a number of them were suckling two, and it was remarkable how the calves used to get to the right cow practically every time. And
were the barns, were they brick construction?
Yes, those buildings were built of brick, but the Farndales, farm buildings, not the house, farm buildings were built of stone, that they used to be what they called Kilton Castle, and it was on the edge, there was a wood ran along the edge of Farndale's farm. And there used to be a castle there, and there were still a few of the ruins left there, but apparently the farm buildings at Farndale's were built of stone that they took from that old castle.
Do you know how far back that castle dated, or do you
I have no, I have no, I never heard anything about that, what what was left, what they didn't use, it was just left there, and
Had it been a very big castle? Or?
Oh, it must have been quite a fair size, because Farndale's buildings, all of them were built of stone. And
all the farm buildings, the outbuildings, like, yeah, not the houses.
No, no, the house was...
What about Buckrush? Was that a...
Oh, that, I forget. I think that was a brick building.
Uh-huh. I was wondering about the grounds, Dad. The hedges and so on are so nicely kept. Did they employ gardeners, or who looked after
that?
Oh,
no, there wasn't a gardener in sight. We clipped the hedges, and I might mention that coming in off the turnpike, as they call them in England, there was quite a drive up to Farndale's house, and there were hedges on both sides, and we used to keep them clipped, and around the house there was a very nice hedge. But that was all done by us. But as far as who looked after the lawn and that kind, I can't remember that part. I think the girls did that, and probably the garden too, because I never did any gardening or even learned how. But
did you help clip the hedge?
I've clipped. Miles ahead, I might say, in my time. They're stretching it a little.
Well, it's one skill that you wouldn't have to put to use on the prairies anyway. I guess you probably didn't clip another hedge until you retired from the farm to move to Ontario.
That's right.
I was also wondering, Dad, where did they get their supplies from, like their groceries? Was that all... Would they just get them locally at Broughton, or
yes,
would you go further afield than that?
No, they used to shop, and the cattle. They fattened the cattle, and they kept the butcher supplied in Broughton. Sometimes we would. Usually we took one or maybe two up to Broughton. We used to walk them up there and to the butcher, and of course that's where we got our meat. It was a fair size town, you know, and there was stalls there. And,
so you get your staple foods.
Oh yes, we
you
didn't
go farther afield.
In quite a few places. Well, when I was in England the last time I was there in 1912, there used to be a butcher come around once a week with he had a pony and cart and brought none. We bought.
You said the last time I was in England in 1912. I don't think you meant that.
No, I meant when I was there to stay.
When you were still
living
in England.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's how they used to get the beef there. Of course, East Hardwick was, I don't think there wasn't a store, I don't think, in that bit of a village.
No.
I can't remember one anyway.
Just one other point in Martin's letter. I noticed that Grace died in 1966, and that would account for why you didn't hear from them much after you'd been to England in 65, because actually she was the letter writer in the family.
Yes, she was.
I don't think you ever heard from George after Grace died.
I don't recall that. Oh, Mary, I never heard.
You might have heard from Mary, you know. Because she used to write you sometimes, didn't she?
No, I don't.
I thought it was Mary.
It was Grace.
Oh, always Grace.
And I didn't, of course, I didn't hear from them for years. But I spent a week or two there when I was over in the winter of 65 or 20. 25 and 26. That's when I gave that talk at the Broughton. But I think I don't know of anything else that I talked.
Well, I'll just leave the tape on the machine, and then if you think of something before I package this up for mailing tomorrow, then we can add it on the end.
But I don't know of anything either.
Martin has any more specific questions, he can always drop you a line, and I know you'd be glad to fill him in with what you can.
It was really something if he were to come out and see us.
That would be very nice. It certainly would, and we'll hope that one day he can make it before too long. You never know.